Hi there, I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. We return now to where we left off last time at Genesis 3, verses 1 through 5. I want to speak to you again as we end this week together about Satan's temptation towards the woman, Eve. Let's begin by getting the passage back on our minds and hearts, Genesis 3, verses 1 through 5. I read from the New American Standard Bible, the NASB, which is my preferred translation. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Indeed, has God said, 'You shall not eat from any tree of the garden?'" The woman said to the serpent, "From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, 'You shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die.'" The serpent said to the woman, "You surely will not die. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." As we began yesterday, so we continue today to follow the dialogue between the serpent and the woman. Twice here, the serpent speaks, and the woman speaks once. The serpent asks the question. Eve answers the question, and then the serpent casts doubt on Eve's answer. And by way of an overview, I picked up on the always solid work of Bible commentator, pastor, and one of my favorite teachers, W.H. Griffith Thomas, who said that the serpent raises suspicion of God by the question that he asks. As Eve listens, the serpent casts doubt on God as follows. Verse 1, the serpent causes Eve to doubt the goodness of God. How can God be good to you if God restricts, if God gives you a prohibition, if God says, "You shall not"? Has God said, "You shall not eat from any tree of the garden"? Verse 4, the serpent causes Eve to doubt the righteousness of God when he says, "You surely will not die." Of course God, who is perfectly righteous, will judge an unrighteous act. But the serpent lies about the righteousness of God. And then in verse 5, the serpent causes Eve to doubt the holiness of God. The serpent subtly plants the idea, "You are not going to die." Or rather, just the opposite. You will see that you can be God. The serpent says, "For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God." You, woman, you, human, can be a God. Well, this robs God of his holiness. The suggestion that through a sinful act, eating from the tree, you can become God, lowers God right down to the level of evil. There is no evil. There is no sin in God. There is only holiness in God. So one cannot become God by sinning. But the serpent is persuasive. Satan has possessed the serpent, and Satan has devised quite a temptation. The voice of Satan via the serpent is really drawing Eve unto unbelief in what God has said. This will manifest itself in disobedience towards God, and we will read about that later in verse 6. But what I want you to see now is how this opening dialogue with Eve really calls into question God's word. Back to verse 1. Has God said? The use of a question mark here is, I must admit, brilliant on behalf of the devil. If he had come right out and stated that God should not be believed, well, this might have offended Eve, and she would have defended her God. But instead, with the use of a question, the evil one gets Eve thinking. And the question is designed to draw Eve away from the truth of what God actually said. Have you ever noticed that this is the first question ever asked? God has not asked any questions. Adam has not asked questions. He did not even ask Eve to marry him in Genesis 2. And Eve herself has never asked any questions. But here comes the serpent with a question mark on the tip of his tongue. Asking questions is an intelligent way to prompt doubt. Sometimes at the end of a long week, my wife and I like to relax a little by watching a well-chosen mystery. By well-chosen, I mean something that is as clean as we can get it. By mystery, I mean some kind of detective story, a show that you really have to piece together using an instrument called your brain. And without wanting to obnoxiously offend my fellow Americans, in our experience, the Brits do a much better job with their detective stories than we do. The key to their success is character development. Each episode is 90 minutes, and there is nothing cheap or easy in figuring it all out. American TV is so mindless. All right, I am being opinionated today. Anyway, one such detective I enjoy watching is a man called Maigret. Maigret is based on a series of books by a Belgian author, and it takes place, the setting is the 1950s. And the actor, Rowan Atkinson, plays the part brilliantly. One of the things I have noticed when we watch Maigret is how questions are used to raise doubt. Just when we think the detectives have a solution, a question interjected raises suspicion. If, for example, the murder Maigret and his team are trying to solve is like a puzzle, as a viewer, we are led to believe all the pieces are falling into place, and then a question makes us wonder. Often, Chief Inspector Maigret is the one who asks the question. When we come back to Genesis 3, we find that with his question, the devil does away with the truth of God's word to Adam and through Adam to Eve. Let's go back to Genesis 2, verse 16, and listen to God speak. Then we will contrast this with the lie the serpent feeds Eve in Genesis 3, verse 1. I'm reading now in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, "From any tree of the garden you may eat freely." Now listen to the serpent in Genesis 3, verse 1. "Has God said, 'You shall not eat from any tree of the garden?'" What a subtle difference, right? The serpent makes it sound like God was having Eve and Adam starve to death. It was not that they could not eat freely from any tree of the garden. Of course they could eat from whatever of the many trees they wanted. God gave Adam and Eve an abundant provision. There was plenty of food. They would not starve. It was only one tree from which they could not eat. Now listen to God in Genesis 2, verse 17. "But from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die." But the serpent says, "Not eat from any tree." Quoting our teacher Griffith Thomas again, "This is characteristic of sin at all times, the doubt, the denial, and the disbelief of God's word. First, Satan distorts the word. Then he leads the woman to doubt it. And last of all, he denies it." Unquote. That's so well said. And the devil uses this. Has God said? It's a trick question. And as soon as Eve answers in verse 2, she's trapped. Indeed, questions are a very effective way to raise doubt. Listen to another commentator, Robert Harbash, quote, Notice the subtlety of Satan. He concealed from the woman the real intent and drift of his suggestions. He said nothing to shock her senses directly, but began with a casual, apparently harmless question, couching his words in vague, double-meaning language. He never even seemed to suggest, but always to be following the woman's thought. He made it appear as though he sought her good. Close quote. With the use of a question, the evil one gets Eve thinking. And the question is designed to draw Eve away from the truth of what God actually said. And as we will soon need to draw our time today to an end, on Monday, Lord willing, we will pick up the text with Eve's answer to this serpent. I certainly hope that you will plan to be with us again on Monday. But as we draw this week to a conclusion, let us apply what we are learning to our lives. When the tempter approaches us with the temptation to doubt the word of God, how do we respond? When he asks us, "Has God said?" does this also lead us down the path to disobedience? Some examples. Has God said? Sexual intercourse is reserved only for marriage between one man and one woman. Has God said that lust unleashed in the mind is still adultery? Has God really said that telling a small lie, even in this untenable situation, is really wrong? Does God really expect you to forgive this? Wouldn't even God agree that what this person has done to you is unforgivable? What you are about to share is not really gossip, is it? It's just a prayer request. That's all. Friends, God has really said, we best believe God. Join me on Monday for much more about our great God.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. Mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.